Good morning. I have a couple of announcements to make. Since I saw you last, the beginning of the month, for the first Sunday of the month, I have been in Detroit, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Montreal for 4 days. Actually, it was 4 hours at the airport. It just seemed like 4 days. Halifax, Toronto, and home again late Friday night. So today, my watch was on one of those time zones. So when the alarm went off today, I thought it was this time zone. It was wrong. So if today, while I'm preaching, you happen to notice that the sock on one foot is white and the sock on the other foot is red, it's okay. I haven't lost my mind. I just don't know what time zone I'm in. So is everybody okay with that? These are my work clothes, but sometimes they, you know how it is. There's smoke everywhere here. I don't know if, you know, I know they legalized marijuana, but this is... The other thing I'd like to announce today is, this is my last sermon at Calvary as a young man. Because tomorrow, I become an old man. How many of you know that the Bible says that we're guaranteed 70 and 10? Isn't that what the Bible says? I'm already 5 years past warranty as of tomorrow. So tomorrow is my 75th birthday. So I've made a decision. Next year will be my 74th, and the year after will be my 73rd, and then 70. I'm going backwards. I am not going forward from this point. I've decided to take candles off the cake and save energy and help the environment. So that's what's going to happen from here on in. It's good to be home. This is so good. Thank you for allowing me to be part of what God is doing continuously at Calvary and the way the Lord is blessing us. It's been a great month. I enjoyed being here at the first Sunday and talking about what do you say, and following Pastor Mark as he preached on the second Sunday of the month. It's great to get the Calvary app if you don't already have it. And by the way, Mark is taking me out for lunch tomorrow to celebrate my birthday. And he's taking me to Denny's because it's free on your birthday. And so he's looking after that. And then last Sunday, Peter Legge was here. And by the way, get Peter's books. It is absolutely a blessing to the church when you get one of Peter's books, but it's a blessing to you when you get to read them. And so I encourage you to do that. Do your Christmas shopping early and give them as gifts to people you love. It'll be a great blessing. So all this month, the theme has been expressing gratitude and showing that spirit towards God because of what he's done, and expressing that spirit in many ways as we say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in our lives. But I began to think about what happens when people express greed instead of gratitude, and what happens with people who don't recognize that our expressions of forgiveness to others is somehow tied to our recognition of how grateful we are for what God has done in forgiving us. And so Jesus gave a couple of parables that deal with that issue. One parable is found in Matthew chapter 18 and another one in Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 18 is the parable of the servant who came to his master because he couldn't pay his debt. The master forgave him, and then he went and in a much smaller debt demanded payment from the other servant. And so this story is a powerful story about the unmerciful servant. It's about the recognition that there is something that can happen in the human spirit that forgets how good God has been to us when it comes to our dealings with other people. Every one of us need forgiveness. We need forgiveness for our sins. God has provided that through Jesus Christ for the sins we commit, for the nature of sin. God's provided all of that, and we have been forgiven. Turn to the person next to you and say, I have been forgiven. Say it loud, because it's true. But then we need forgiveness for other little things that come along, and big things and small things. We all need forgiveness. It's the truth for all of us. In this story that Jesus told, this parable, the man comes to his master. The master wants to collect what the man owes him. And the scripture says the man owed 10,000 talents. Now, I read recently and did some calculations that that amount of money, because the talents were a form of money, that amount of money may well equal $2 billion in today's currency. B billion dollars. That is an awful lot of money. That is a very big debt. Do any of you owe $2 billion to anybody? No. That's an impossible debt to pay. Nobody could pay off that debt. So this man had a debt that was beyond his ability to pay. And not only was it impossible to pay, but he couldn't pay it back if he lived 100 lifetimes because it was just too big. We don't know how he came to owe the debt. Maybe he made an investment on the part of his master that went really, really bad. Maybe he used the master's money to gamble with and lost it all. We don't know. But we do know that it was impossible for him to pay the debt, just like it's impossible for us to repay God or pay our own debt of forgiveness for our salvation. So this equates to us in a very powerful way. So this debt was so beyond his ability to pay that all he could do was beg for mercy. All he could do was say, please forgive me. Because the penalty of being unable to pay the debt would be not only that he had to go to prison and be tortured for it, but also his family. So he had no option but come to the mercy of his master. Just like for us, we have no option for the issue of sin except to come to God's mercy and forgive for, and find his forgiveness. And that's what the man did. But you know, forgiveness in a normal sense is hard. It's easy to say, I forgive you, than it is to really forgive. How often do we hear, I forgive, but I can't forget? I can forgive you, but I can't forget what you've done to me. And actually, what we're saying is, I haven't forgiven you either. I just know I'm supposed to say this word. Because saying it is easier than doing it, and it is something that happens to all of us from time to time because it's easy to say, harder to do. So my message title today is Grateful Acts, not grateful words, but grateful acts. How do we act? One of the reasons it's hard to forgive is because it's not natural to us as human beings. Somebody punches you in the face, you'd like to punch them back. Somebody steals from you, you'd like to steal their money back, actually get your money back. The other night, because you're on time changes, there was a baseball game on. I seldom watch baseball because it can put you to sleep, but never mind, that's a different story. So the World Series is on. Does anybody know what the World Series is? This is the big championship in the U.S. They call it the World Series, but it's really in the U.S. So the Los Angeles Dodgers are playing the Boston Red Sox, and they're in a late inning game. That means it's going into overtime because nobody scores. And one of the Boston Red Sox players makes a great play, and as he goes back to the dugout, you know how they slap each other on the back and on the head and all that stuff, which is good play, you did a great job. One of his guys was waiting in the dugout, where all the players are, and as the guy came into the dugout, he slapped him, but he slapped him awful hard, and he kind of missed his target and hit him on the side of the face like that. And when he did, that player, who still had his helmet on, headbutted his fellow player in the face, causing his teeth to get a little loose and blood to come out. And I thought, boy, that's human. That's, you know, we do that, don't we? Don't look so holy at me. I know you do that. That's a natural human instinct. So that's why it's hard to forgive, because we're still human. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm still human. Some of you are not sure because you didn't say that very loud. So, but we are human. So it's not natural to just forgive, and it's not fair. I mean, if you steal from me, isn't it my right to get my money back? If you hurt me, isn't it my right to hurt you back? If you do something wrong to me, isn't my right to even and balance the account? Well, actually, our rights get in the way of the kingdom of God and the Spirit of Jesus that's supposed to dwell within us. Because even though it's our right, it doesn't make it right for us to act in that fashion. Because gratitude is an act. And one of the acts of gratitude is forgiveness. Remember that this parable came about because Peter asked Jesus a question. And the question he asked was, how many times should I forgive my brother who has wronged me? Should it be 7 times? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. In other words, there is no limit. You don't get to kill him on the 71st time. You know, it's unlimited forgiveness, just as we have received unlimited forgiveness from God. And so this question that Peter asked leads to this parable, and this parable teaches us that an act of gratitude is to forgive even as we have been forgiven. It's interesting to note in this parable that the forgiveness of the debt was at the sole choice of the master. He responded to the man's begging for mercy. He had compassion to the man, but he had no obligation to forgive the debt. He chose to forgive. God so loved you and me that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting and eternal life. That's God's choice. And so God chooses to forgive us. God chooses to redeem us. God chooses to have compassion on us. And he gives us life and forgiveness and hope and peace and identity and citizenship in heaven because he chooses to forgive us. Forgiveness must go in a cycle. Forgiveness can't stop with just us getting it. In order to truly understand forgiveness and gratitude, we have to understand the part of this parable when the servant who has just been forgiven of 10,000 talents goes to somebody who owes him 100 denarii, which is maybe a couple of $100, and says to the man, if you don't pay me the 100 denarii, you're going to prison, you will be tortured, your family's going with you, I want my money. Other servants heard about it. They were so shocked by the hypocrisy of this man, so shocked by the fact that he didn't get what had just been given him in terms of forgiveness, that they went to the master. And when they went to the master called the guy over and said, hey, how could you act like that after what I have done for you? And this sowing and reaping of forgiveness is what ought to be part of our normal life. The master said, look, I forgave you. Why can't you forgive others? If you're going to sow seeds of goodness, you reap goodness. But if you sow seeds of greed, you reap greed. If you sow seeds of hate, you reap hate. If you sow seeds of anger, you reap anger. If you sow seeds of unforgiveness, you reap unforgiveness. That's what Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer. He said, pray this way. Forgive me my trespasses as I have forgiven others who trespass against me. So this cycle of an expression of gratitude through forgiveness has to keep on going, because if it doesn't, we end up as a wicked man. The truth is that forgiveness is blessed. Unforgiveness is sinful, and it destroys us. There are consequences when we're only grateful with our lips, but ungrateful with our acts. And those consequences are powerful. First of all, others see it. People see hypocrisy. What does the world outside the church hate most? Hypocrisy. Everybody hates if you act like a saint on 1 hour of the week and act like the devil for the rest of the week. So everybody sees what we're really like after we leave here. You know, it's wonderful to come and be able to worship the Lord and sing these songs. By the way, that last song that we sang in this set, thank you, worship team. That's a beautiful song. Let's say thank you to our worship team. They do a wonderful, wonderful job. Amen. But there's more to it than this hour together. It's a reality that we have to act it out so that we don't show greed instead of gratitude by refusing to forgive as we have been forgiven. The truth is that the Scripture teaches us a simple thing. If we block forgiving others, we're at the same time blocking our ability to receive God's forgiveness to us. I don't want to be in that position. The second parable Jesus gives is one in Matthew 25. It's a similar parable, but it has to do with accountability and productivity after good things have been given to us by God. It's the parable of the talents. And it's 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent. The master brings 3 servants and gives of his wealth to the 3 servants, according, the scripture says, to their ability. In other words, he doesn't look at them the same way. He looks at them in their ability. God gives to us abilities. God gives to us capabilities. And he doesn't make you responsible for mine or his responsible for yours. It's individual before God. So he gives to us our gifts and talents according to our ability. So he gives to 1 5 and another 2 and another 1. The one who gets 5 goes out and he reproduces 5 and brings it back to the master. The master says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. The one who has 2 produces 2 more, comes to the master with those, and the master pronounces on him exactly the same blessing as he did to the man with 5 talents. Because we're not responsible for other people's ability, we're only responsible for ours. And so he gives the same blessing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of the Lord. The one with 1 talent went and buried it. And when he comes back to the master, he makes excuses. You were a tough master. I was afraid I might lose it, so I just buried it in the ground. And he receives unbelievable condemnation from his master because he was wicked and lazy. That's what the scripture says. And so Jesus teaches us this lesson through this parable. He teaches us that we have a responsibility before God to use what he has given us as individuals for his glory. Because we need to keep in mind that everything we have comes from God. All your ability, all your talent, all your capabilities, all your opportunities, all your abilities to do whatever it is you do. All of that comes from God. So he owns that in us as our creator, and he calls us to give him a result from our lives. So when God gives to us at his sole discretion, what he wants for us to have in our lives. He chooses us to be blessed in God's way. So my question to you today is, how has God blessed you by giving to you things that you're able to use for him? Because it has to be used for him. The 5, 2, and 1 talent people did not receive those talents from the master so they could go and use it for themselves. They were to go and use it for the master. So we have been given all of this, all of our forgiveness, all of our identity, all of our citizenship in heaven, all of our promise of the constant presence of God in our lives, all of the promises of Scripture as our guide, all of the promises of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and God has a right to ask, what is the productivity of what he has placed within us? And can I say that our results show the level of our gratitude to God? Now, folks, this is real stuff. This is real Christianity. This is really what we learn when the Bible says of those that follow me must take up their cross and follow me. This is really the difference between us being world changers and game changers in our society, in our jobs, in our homes, in our families, in our schools, in our businesses, in our social standing. This is where the rubber meets the road. Are we doing with God's gift to us what God wants us to do, and are we showing results that show our gratitude to God? We have a right to thank you, God. We have a responsibility to act in such a way that our world changes by God's grace to us. You can't change the whole world, but you can change your world. You can't change every neighborhood, but you can change your neighborhood. You can't change every business, but you can change your business. You can't change every bus, but you can be the salt and the light on the bus you ride to work. It's a powerful truth to us that God looks to us not only to give with our mouth expressions of gratitude, but to give with our life an expression that we can say, thank you, God, for what you've done. The rewards are great. The consequences are dire if we waste our lives. I wasn't here when marijuana was legalized the other day. I was somewhere. But, you know, you can stay attached to the world with electronic devices or whatever. So here's what I saw. Somebody drew this to my attention. There were lineups around the block for people to buy marijuana now that it was legalized in Canada. Anybody see that? I'm not asking, were you in the lineup? I'm just asking, did anybody see that on the news? Here's my prayer. My prayer, and it was echoed by one of our pastors in Nova Scotia this past week. The prayer that soon, by God's grace, if we as Christians begin to act in such a way that shows our gratitude for God's forgiveness and our recognition of what the Master has given us, that we see lineups to get into the house of God longer than the lineups to buy weed in our country. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great that we got to the place where not only we had 3 or 4 services, but you couldn't choose which one you came to, because if you came to the wrong one, you didn't get a seat? Wouldn't that be great? That's only going to happen if we decide that we've been so blessed by God that whatever it takes, we're going to do what God placed us in this world to do. If you're a doctor or an engineer or a carpenter or a plumber, or if you're a lawyer, or if you're a IT technician, but they're not going to heaven, so I'm not sure about them. But But whatever you are, if you begin to see yourself not as I'm here, I'm me, and I go to church on Sunday, but God has placed me here so that by God's grace, I can so sacrifice my life for him that the world will change because I've been here and I'm thankful and grateful to God for what he's done within me. At the time of Jesus, the entire population of the world was 300 million people. That's all. The current population of the world is 7 or 8 billion. When the Spirit of God came on those who were in the upper room in Jerusalem, 120 people out of 300 million. Some of you are much better at math than I am, but I think that is 0.00000004% of the population. In one generation, turned the world upside down because they said, I have been redeemed by the Master, and everything I do has to count for the Master, and I will give my life in order that people are set free from sin because Jesus died on the cross. In today's population, we have a percentage of the population far, far greater than they had at the upper room and at the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost. The difference is, are we prepared to say, Lord, I'm not only grateful, but I'm going to act grateful until my world and my country and my citizenship is so powerful for God that things change around me because I'm thankful, God, for what you did for me. The biggest need in the churches of the world today is for young leaders, young pastors, young missionaries, or early retired people who will say, for the rest of my life, it's all for Jesus and not for me. The world will change when young Christians graduating from high school and university will say, this degree I have or this trade I have is just what I do. It's not who I am. Who I am is an agent for change to turn the world upside down by the love of Jesus Christ and by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I challenge us today to say, let's not get sidetracked. Let's do the main thing in the name of Jesus and begin to show that we are grateful for our forgiveness by acting sacrificially for Christ. Are you willing to do that? In one generation, they changed the world. In our generation, we can change it again if we're willing to say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. Would you stand with me, please? Lord, we thank you today. We're truly forgiven. And that forgiveness transformed us, gave us a new name, a new home, a new identity, a new future. But it also brings with it a new necessity to be accountable for what we've received. Lord, we don't want to be like the servant who was forgiven much and then acted so nasty. We don't want to be like the man who buried the talent and did nothing. We want to be people of God. We want to be game changers, world changers, like those first 120 were. Against all odds, against a political system that was trying to destroy them, against a military system that they could not overcome, against debauchery in high places, they simply said, Here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm prepared to live for you. I'm prepared to die for you because you have forgiven me and I'm on my way to heaven. Help us, Lord, to recapture that spirit and to see great things for God in our generation. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Amen.